Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Jay, Key, we got so much to get to today. We only got 4 hours. Yo, I don't know if we have enough time today.
Last night was crazy. I was so cranky this morning when I came in, Max, until I had that first sip of coffee.
Key, you had to see your boy, man. I come in here... Evan, our producer's talking to Jay about something like totally reasonable, right? Like something that Jay set up in the and Jay, like, I don't know.
Stayed up last night to watch the game. I'm so tired.
But the funny thing was, he took one sip of coffee. No, Key, like literally a sip, and it was like the shroud was lifted. A
new person arrived.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, the game wasn't that late though, Jay. You stayed up to watch the Lakers? Because I didn't.
Yeah, okay.
I saw
10 o'clock.
I saw Stanley Johnson, and I just said, I got to go to sleep.
But
I watched Brooklyn game, and I didn't feel, maybe because I took such a long, long nap that it didn't really feel like it was late to me at that time, I guess.
You're on vacation.
If I was on vacation, I wouldn't be sitting here working with y'all now. Let's not go there.
Listen, it was a huge matchup in the Eastern Conference last night. Jay, you said something like a week ago when we were talking about MVPs. Remember when Giannis blocked Embiid and I said, did he just block Embiid and hand the MVP to the Joker? Or is there something Giannis can do? And you talked about all these dudes, Giannis and KD, they're in these matchups down the stretch that are significant. Well, here was a giant one. Giannis, KD. KD, who seemed to take the crown from LeBron, right? LeBron's best player in the world. No one disputed that for, I don't know, 10 years. Then all of a sudden, pardon us, maybe it's KD, right? And then Giannis comes up, wins the title, but we know KD didn't have anything with him last year and still almost beat him. But then this year, Giannis picked up where he left off from the finals MVP. He's just doing his thing. You said on our production call last night, something was at stake, and not just the game last night. After watching the game, Jay, what did it tell you? What was at stake, and what did that game tell you?
That Giannis is the guy in the NBA. The NBA is his. Like, I'm giving him the crown right now. Now, you guys know how analytical I am as it relates to how athletes, I think of the best ultimate skill set. But there's nobody more dominant than this dude in the game. Like, so dominance has to equate to the best in the game, right? And what I've seen from Giannis in this three-way head-up matchup against KD this year when they've been able to meet, Giannis averaging 34, 12, 7 on 59% shooting.
Filthy.
Now, I get it. It's with the caveat that for a couple of those games, Kyrie wasn't there at home. But I'm just from watching this matchup and last year with what Giannis did last year and Kevin Durant, even though he had an incredible game, missing that shot down the stretch to win the game, right? And then seeing KD miss shots last night and see Giannis with that snatchback three to send it into overtime, that's reminiscent of KD. I feel like Giannis's game is ascending, where I feel like KD's game is kind of hovering.
And
KD's
hovering in the clouds.
Hovering in the clouds.
Sky high.
In the upper echelon. Yeah. But Giannis he's still coming. And his skill set is getting better and better and better. Look at the matchup. Last five head-to-head matchups, the numbers speak for itself.
5-0 Giannis.
But that ain't fair, though, Jay. You know why it ain't fair in the win and losses? Because KD was undermanned in some of those victories with Giannis. He didn't have his full arsenal of team. Middleton was playing in those games, things of that nature. Holiday was playing in those games. So that wouldn't be a fair comparison on the 5-0. I understand what you're talking about as far as Giannis stepping up and hitting those threes and doing it last night, the step back three. But KD did drain three free throws. He missed that shot at the end. But guess what they're doing? And I meant to ask you this during our pre-show meeting. I couldn't get it in. They were blitzing him and running at him from all angles and forcing KD to make some bad shots down the stretch.
You
so that's
why?
More on Budenholzer than it is on Giannis and what they were doing.
Oh, you mean on KD? They're blitzing KD down the stretch?
Down the stretch.
Well, you know why? I mean, you can do that when you don't have the pieces around
your team. Yeah, that's why I was saying that it's unfair to him.
It's not unfair.
On the 5-0.
That's the way you play basketball, Keith.
By the way, Giannis.
By the way, they blitz Giannis down the stretch. You know what Giannis did? He passed it to Bobby Portis. He made a play. He passed it to Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday made
a
play.
That speaks to
what's
around him, though.
Chris Middleton wasn't in the game. He actually got ejected on the foul he had on Bobby Brown. So it's also personnel that you have with your team.
Can we put the stats back up on the screen for a second? I want to show you guys something. It's not just that it's 5-0 Giannis, Key. Giannis is averaging more points, a lot more boards, about the same assists, and shooting better from the field. They're different kinds of players.
He's averaging 2 points more, man.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he's averaging 10 more.
It's a bucket more. It's four more rebounds. The assists are even, and it's 10% better from the field.
He's down low more so than KD, so he's going to get more rebounds.
That's what the stats say.
He's punishing people. And by the way, KD was guarding him last night for a majority of the game. I mean, Giannis was taking it to the rack. Here's where, Key, I struggle a little bit, and I was talking to Max about it this morning. So for me, like, when I look at Giannis, there's nobody that's going to stop him. Like, there's no game plan. You can't load up in the paint anymore.
My man's
shooting the ball from the outside with the confidence of Kevin Durant. He's going to the free throw line. Remember we used to count to 13 last year
on his free throw?
He just goes up there, bang, bang now. But for me as an athlete, sometimes I see the best as the ultimate complete skill set. And I'm still willing to say that the ultimate complete skill set, KD's skill set is still, it's unquestionable. I haven't seen it. But the dominance of Giannis is making me think I'm starting to equate dominance towards the best.
I have this is the thing.
He's silky, though. That's the thing with KD, though.
It's silky, man. Exactly.
But this is the thing I noticed with ballers, right? Y'all are ballers, right? You analyze skills, and you want to check every box. He can do this, he can do that, and that's KD. But to me, however you do it, if it's because you're tall, if it's because you're wide, it's because you have a long reach, whatever it is, if it's because you're down low, I don't care. I care about the results, even if it's ugly. Like, Key, you'll talk about the way Jokic looked. Do you get the results, yes or no? So Giannis is getting the results. So if that makes him number one, then that makes him number one, even if it feels unfair because KD can do more. But I want to bring this up because you guys brought up the context of the team. KD did something that took, for me, a lot of heart. First, he's in goal. He sets himself up in Golden State, right? And you kind of backdoor your way into championships. He balled out in the finals, but come on, man. You add KD to that team, of course they're not going to lose. Then he's like, you know what? I did that. Now I'm going to Brooklyn, and I'm going to light my own torch, right? Put my own team together and do it. So he went out of his comfort zone to do this. Giannis had a team built around him. He does have an advantage right now. You know, KD is playing with less right now than Giannis at the moment.
KD should have been playing with Kyrie last year. I think they would have actually won that series.
But that's why I brought up that it's unfair to point to certain things because he's not playing with a full deck.
But Key, if if was a fifth, we all be drunk, right? So, like, I hear what we're saying, but it is what
it
is.
No, I understand. And you deal with the cards. You deal with the hand that you dealt. I get it.
Here's my other thing, Key. I would ask you, right, regardless of whatever could happen, like, it's like battles back in the day of different religions, right? Like, who owns the power? Who got the power? It's hard for me to tell you that Giannis doesn't got the power.
He just took Constantinople.
He won a world championship. He had 50-14 in game 6 of the NBA Finals, regardless if you want to give me the caveat while he's going against the Suns. And now they're ascending back to the number one seed again. And here's what I like about it. When last night you saw the Philadelphia 76ers lose to Detroit, it brings out the conspiracy theories. Oh, they're running away from the number one seed. And I'm not saying I believe it, but it's out there because they don't want to play against Brooklyn. I see Milwaukee running towards the number one seed. Like, okay, fine. Let's play Brooklyn. Please, as a basketball fan, give me 7 games of that.
I'm saying. I think LeBron was an undisputed champ for like 10 years. I think the crown is fractured right now. It's not unified, right? Different guys have different pieces of the crown. I think KD got a piece. Giannis got a piece. And these playoffs maybe will start to suss that out. Mm. I would still have KD number one. I think if they were on comparably talented teams, I would prefer KD's team. But they're not. The fact is, Giannis keeps getting them head-to-head, and you can make a hell of a case for Giannis as number one in the game right now.
The KD team with Ben Simmons or without Ben Simmons? I'm confused. I don't know which team is which.
The Bucks are hoping Giannis can continue to get in the zone on Sunday against the Mavericks. Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. Jay mentioned the Sixers. Wait till you hear what Doc Rivers said about James Harden after Philly's latest loss.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Detroit with the win, and the Sixers have now lost three games in a row.
They didn't struggle. You know, they didn't get a lot of shots. I think during that stretch, it was more James than them. So it's just a tough night.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, James Harden and the Sixers lose to the Pistons.
Luke Carlert.
102-94. But here's what's interesting, okay? Guys, you hear what Doc Rivers had to say?
Uh-oh.
About, like, did he lose Ben Simmons when he started criticizing him? You hear what he had to say about the dude they traded Ben Simmons for, a certain James Harden? After the game, Rivers was asked about it because the bench struggled, right? So he was asked about the bench. And listen to what Doc answers.
Well, they didn't struggle. They didn't get a lot of shots, in their defense. I think during that stretch, it was more James, than them. So, yeah, that's just a tough night.
What's so funny?
Because I just, when you hear it again and again and again, it just makes you like, okay, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe he is pointing a finger at James on this one.
Well, 1,000%.
It
was 39-8.
The Sixers scored 7 points in the final 5:52 of the game.
Bench points last night. Philly scored 8 bench points. Detroit scored 39.
He's blaming it on Harden. Why, Jay?
Well, I don't think he's blaming it. I think he's saying that the struggle. Mm-hmm. He said James struggled more so than the bench.
Well, no, but it says
that's what I thought yes. too originally.
But
he said they couldn't find shots because James Harden's ball hogging is what it sounded to me.
And then I heard that, Max. Yeah. First time I heard what Jay said. The second time I heard what you said. But then I have a theory. Does he mean that he was running the offense through James and James started struggling? So therefore, the other guys could get shots, or Jay, is he saying, like Max said, is he ball hogging it?
I think it's key, the struggle of James Harden. Here James Harden has been horrible, horrific in the fourth quarter of the last 6 games. He's 4 of 18 from the field, 2 of 10 from the three-point line with 8 turnovers in the last 6 games in the fourth quarter. That's horrible.
That doesn't sound very good to
so
me.
So what I saw last night, I was sitting there saying, you guys lose to the second-to-last place team in the Eastern Conference with 6 games left to go in the regular season. Now, people are going to tell you, oh, well, Joel Embiid did his thing. I'm like, I need more from you, Joel Embiid. I know what I need from James Harden, but I need more from you, Joel Embiid. This is where we're talking about Jokic. We're talking about Giannis dropping 40 points, 16 rebounds, a block against Joel Embiid in the last game.
Embiid's losing the MVP right now. Like, he's letting
it
slip away.
Yeah. You can't lose these type of games.
I have a question for you, Key. Okay? what everyone, listen, if you work in the business, you hear James likes to go out, right? It seems to me at his age and his stage in his career, he needs to try to optimize the later stages of his career, the way dudes like Kobe did, the way someone like LeBron does.
The way you wanted Russell Westbrook too.
Now, here's the question. What are the chances that James Harden can get that message and think, you know what, I'm not going out tonight. I have to change the way I live off the court. Is there any shot of that happening?
Don't germ spray, Key.
You already know what I'm going to say. It has nothing to do with him playing basketball. You already know I'm going to say that. The first thing people want to do.
That sounds so much better.
The first thing that people want to do is they want to point to his off-the-court behavior and equate that to his success on the court. Well, he was going out the first 10 games when they were winning, so to speak, and he's still going out when they're losing the 6. So I don't see how you put that together because now he's struggling. Because he's going out.
I hear you. Look.
So he got
like
real
athletes.
Old. He got real old in the last 6 losses.
I love athletes who do it their way. I love it. If you go ahead, go out and do your thing. There's so many great athletes who didn't do it by the book and they balled out anyway, and you love that. What I'm saying is, if you stop getting results at a certain point, particularly if you age, maybe it has nothing to do with it. But maybe it does. So why would you not try everything, especially in these moments of your career?
Well, look,
you're on a team who could win all that. Try everything that you can.
If that is the problem, and you sense that's your problem, then yes. But if you know that's not your problem because you know your body more than anybody, then why change what you do?
But I'm confused on this topic. Like, were the reports out last night that James was out the night before the game?
No.
Okay. Is it just because we've seen pictures of that before that we associate that with now every time James Harden struggles?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no. That's not, I don't associate.
So by the way, Michael Jordan was out before.
Here's one for you.
Had social media key back in the day. Y'all see Michael having some cigars.
But it's not even.
What are you talking about?
Wait, but it's not even MJ that I was getting ready to tease here. Magic Johnson will be joining this show on Monday, this upcoming Monday. Magic Johnson is the greatest point guard by far in NBA history. How many championship rings does he have?
Yeah, but just because Magic can do it, don't mean everyone can do it.
But I'm just saying that is very true, Max. Everybody can't do it, but it doesn't mean James can't do it either.
Key, here's the only thing about James that I will give Max some credit for to this degree, but it's not just about going out. I don't feel like James takes care of his body.
This is what I'm saying.
It's not just going out. That's just the way he's built.
There's nothing he can do. He's a Pillsbury guy. That's just what he is.
If you cut out the Pillsbury, you're less of a Pillsbury guy.
Body is not going to all of a sudden look like a rock.
I get it. My point is this, guys. Maybe I'm not even saying, that's the reason why he's not playing. Don't go out. I'm not saying that either. What I'm saying as you age, your stuff changes. And the dudes who have longevity, many of
you're
them
right.
spend a lot of time and effort on their bodies. So what I'm saying
but
is
say
that,
that
could
the
be
first part, time. But, say that the first time. You that, didn't say that the first
that,
time.
What I asked was,
no, you asked the right question.
Do you think James Harden is the type of dude who can cut that stuff out? Or is he going to be like, no, I'm going to keep doing it the same way? And going out might be part of the equation. My point is, you got to try everything right now.
Yeah.
Now is the time.
But I would say, as serious as possible. But I would say, Max, I don't think he's there yet. You know, when you start saying age and this, I don't think he's there yet.
But Key,
if we were having this conversation 3 years from now, then his age would factor into taking that probably a little more serious, I think, Jay.
Yeah, I disagree with you, man. His blow-by rate is dropped off, man. Like, I'm watching the James I watched Key a couple of years ago where he would hit you with that bop-bop between the legs. He would just shoot by you. Now the James that hit you with the bop-bop is like, ugh. Like, he muscles by you now with his upper body and his shoulders. It's not the same pop.
Sometimes there are athletes who shine for a second, even in their great careers. The point guard I saw James Harden play in Brooklyn when he first got there, when someone says it's the best point guard you ever saw, that's so up high up on the list. He was a genius, a basketball genius.
You're playing
Where's
with KD
that
and Kyrie. I mean, KD.
No, no,
and
they
Kyrie.
Were out sometimes. KD won there and Kyrie was out half the time. The defending champs are not running it back, guys. They're running it forward.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Veteran Pro Bowl free agent linebacker Bobby Wagner is leaving Seattle after 10 seasons and heading home. Five-year deal with the LA Rams.
You bring in a guy like Bobby Wagner, all of a sudden you're Aaron Donald and say, okay, I know they were going to be serious anyway, but they're really serious about bringing somebody to help me.
Over or under?
John J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. By the way, we are presented by Progressive Insurance, and we're asking on the call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The biggest thing you've ever skipped, like event you've ever skipped, to go to a sporting event instead. You can hit us up. We'll talk about it later on. Evan, I'm hearing that NFL over-under music. Take it away.
Yeah, we're going to get to Bobby Wagner and the Rams and how it impacts them. Rams over-under set at 10.5. I want to get your guys' number on that in a second, but let's start Chicago Bears. 6.5, over or under, Key, wins?
I'd say under. I think Chicago, new head coach, new coaching staff, just in general, young quarterback still trying to figure it out. I figure they're under 6.
Yeah, I'll take the under, too. I need to see more from Fields, and I think the loss of Allen Robinson is going to hurt them more than people think.
Taking the under. 6 games sounds right to me.
Yeah.
The Steelers are listed at 7.5. That would mean the first losing season for Mike Tomlin as head coach. So, over, under, 7.5 wins, Key.
I believe in Mitch Trubisky. I believe that they're going to do the right things, and it's over for me. Mike Tomlin's there as a head coach. Look, they still got some pieces in place. They lose Juju Smith-Schuster, obviously, but they got some other receivers. Their defense is going to get retooled. They're going to draft well. I think they're going to be over.
Keyshawn Johnson, I wrote it down, quote, I believe in Mitch Trubisky. I'm April 1st. That was a great April 1st fool's joke. I am going with the under. I am going to take Mike Tomlin not to make it to the playoffs.
If you'd have put $100 on Mike Tomlin to be over 500 and doubled your money every year that he's been head coach, you'd have $3 million plus right now, right? Okay, like, I'm not betting against Mike Tomlin. There's no way I'm taking the under, the over. Mike Tomlin, I'm telling you right now, will at worst be 8-8-1. I'll take 9-8.
New quarterback.
And by the way, these NFL over-unders are via Caesars Sportsbook. Let's move to the Packers. Important note, these are regular season wins, so 11.5 over-under regular season wins for the Packers, Key.
I think it's going to be over. I understand everybody's concerned about the wide receiver position and Aaron Rodgers allegedly taking all the money from everybody, but I think this team is in a poor division. They'll run through that division like the New England Patriots did for many years in the AFC East, and they'll get over 11.5 wins for sure and find themselves probably having the number one seed in the NFC.
I'll say under for right now until I know who else they will have as wideout options for Aaron Rodgers to throw the ball to. But I assume I will eventually pick over once they make some moves.
I'll take the over in the regular season. They win 13 games a year since LaFleur's been there. But show up in the playoffs, guys. Come on. Aaron Rodgers, you got to show up a little better than that in the playoffs.
It's the regular season we're talking
that's
about.
That's why I said I'll take
the
over.
On, okay, season. Let's do it. Over under a half of a playoff win for the Packers in 2022-2023. Over under half a playoff win.
I'm going to go over. I think that the Green Bay Packers are moving in the right direction. The division puts him in great position, and Aaron Rodgers already knows, guys, that he cannot go home early again. He just can't.
I'll go over. I just think it's set up for the Packers or the Bucks to win an NFC.
I like the Rams. Set up. I like the Niners over them. I think they could beat the Cardinals. I think they could beat the Cowboys, but maybe I'll take the over. Maybe they can get one playoff win. Big deal.
You really
one
trust in Jimmy G
win.
That much? And don't
he
get
just beat
no,
him.
Don't, but no, stop.
He
stop,
did not
stop,
beat
stop
him.
Stop going back to that argument. Stop.
They just played. Wait, guys. They just played each other in the playoffs, and Jimmy G's
Max.
Team won. Just
Max.
Now, like just happened.
Say Jimmy G's team won.
Okay,
don't
fine.
Say Jimmy G beat Green Bay.
Well, you know how he tries to make it key.
Oh.
You know how he tries to do these quarterback matchups. Get out of here.
Time out. The question was not. The question was Packers wins. So sorry if we're conflating Aaron Rodgers with
no,
the Packers. I'll do the
no.
same thing with Jimmy G.
Just say Jimmy G's team.
Fine.
Don't
okay,
say
watch
Jimmy
this.
G.
Let me
okay.
know when you guys are ready.
Watch this.
Yeah.
Jimmy G's team just beat Aaron Rodgers' team.
There you
in
go.
The
now
playoffs.
We're ready.
That's way better.
Evan.
Yeah, way better.
Now we're
Let's
ready.
Go. Move on.
Oh, sorry, guys. Just sitting back, taking a nap. Colts over under 9.5 wins with Matt Ryan at quarterback now.
You know, I'm going to go over in this one. Again, much like Mitch Trubisky, I believe in Matty Ice. I think he gets a rebirth. He gets refreshed again with Frank Reich. He is totally different than Carson Wentz. And I know you look at it, they're going to treat things differently than they did with Carson Wentz. They tried to put Carson Wentz in a situation to win games. Matt Ryan will not screw it up. He's not going to throw the ball and panic and just give the ball to another team. Backed up in his own end zone. It's just not going to happen.
Just seeing
so I'm
your
going
face,
over.
Just seeing your face when you say panic.
Because it's stupid, Jay. I almost cursed because that's like, man, he better be glad I wasn't on this team.
Just throw another shuffle pass, Carson Wentz. I'll go over. I think Matty Ice, I think he is going to be a huge upgrade over Carson Wentz. You have a dominant run game. You have an easier division. Over.
Ooh, I think they got this just right. I think they're a 9 or 10 win team. I like Matt Ryan. There's a reason he's available. I don't think he's what he once was. I'll take the 10 wins sounds right to me for that team.
I'll take
the over.
We teased it. Defending champs, the Rams. Will the Rams have over or under 10.5 wins, Keith?
Over. Los Angeles Rams will have over 10.5 wins. I'm going to put them in that 12 to 13 category. Second seed type team.
Over. I'll say one of the best teams in the NFC. I think Cam Akers will be pivotal in this as well.
I think they got this right, too. I'll also take the over, yes. But barely. I'll take the over. Yeah. So there you have it. There's your over-under. Guys, speaking of the Rams, one of the reasons they're looking pretty good right now after they lost Von Miller, and look, we all know Aaron Donald's the key to the defense. Anyone's going to – but Von Miller gets to the quarterback. But they replace Von Miller with Bobby Wagner. Remember yesterday it was like Bobby Wagner's looking for an $11 million one-year deal. Oh, he got a five-year $50 million deal. It's worth up to $65 million.
How much is guaranteed?
According to Adam Schefter. I don't have that information.
Okay.
But you're 50 right.
$50-plus million. Dollars.
Yeah. $50-plus million guaranteed?
Yeah. So so if that's the guarantee, that's all a contract is the guarantee, right? So Bobby Wagner staying in the NFC West. Guys, like he's not – great anymore. I think he's still pretty good, though. Like, I like Bobby Wagner on a defense. So,
I would still consider him great. I mean, he had a little bit of a down year. He had 170 tackles, Max. He 10 years in the league, 8 Pro Bowls, and he still made second team All-Pro this year. And second team All-Pro, he's only 31 years old. I mean, that says a lot. I mean, you look at him, he can still go. There's no question about it.
Key, can you explain something to me? Because I get confused. How the hell do the Rams keep paying everybody? I know you always say kick the can down the road, but Aaron Donald gets a crazy deal. Matthew Stafford gets a crazy deal. Now you see this with Bobby Wagner. How does that actually happen with the hard cap?
Well, Aaron Donald's about to get another crazy deal. The first crazy deal was several years ago. Now this one's going to be crazier. They're going to have to address Cooper Kupp. They brought in Allen Robinson. They bring in Bobby Wagner. When you got deep pockets like an owner like Stan Kroenke, it's all about cash, and he has the cash to be able to do it, and they know that the salary cap is going to continue to go up every single year, Jay, and so they're projecting those numbers and forecasting those numbers every single year. They're saying to themselves, okay, this is the number we're going to be dealing with in 2022, 23, 24. Let's bake this in here. Let's move things around. And when you can go and renegotiate players' contracts because your owner has that cheddar, then he says, okay, I'll guarantee all that money.
Key, let's rewind for a second. NFL is a hard cap league, right? And you always say there's no salary cap, da-da-da-da. But, and you explain, you know, what you just explained, the it keeps inflating, so you look forward, oh, it's going to go up so we can seemingly overpay for this guy or that guy. But what you just said, Kroenke has deep pockets, right? If I think a lot of people out there listening are thinking, yo,
everybody got deep pockets, right?
Exactly. Right, they own NFL teams, so, right? Yeah. And not only that, but you have to spend at least 90% of the cap or something like that, right? You can't go over 100, so everyone's within 10% of each other. Why do people talk about Kroenke or Jerry Jones like, oh, he has a rich owner? Wouldn't that make them all the same, basically?
No, because a lot of owners got deep cash. Like, they're liquid. Like, Stan Kroenke is liquid. Like, he can go to the bank with no problem at all, where some other owners, they got to get credit lines. And it sounds weird. Like, when you think about it, you look at the landscape of the 32 owners, some of the deeper pocket guys, the Paul Allen family up in Seattle, or David Tepper in Carolina, Jerry Jones is cash rich now. And then other owners have so many partners like the Raiders. They have minority partners in there. When you look at the Giants and the Jets, it's all about the Giants and the Jets. They got cash there. When you look at the Giants and the Jets, they don't cheap out on paying players. They go out in free agency. If there's somebody there, they get it and
do it. Can you explain? Okay. We're going to get into this a little bit later in the show. It's very interesting. But okay, Key, can you explain why cash is king, right? When you guarantee, fully guarantee
up front,
money,
right?
That's what happens? Up front. What happens? Like, they have to put it in escrow immediately, the whole amount?
Well, it just depends on how they want to do it. So, for instance, when you look at Deshaun Watson's deal, $230-something million of guaranteed money, that particular money may go into an escrow account for a number of reasons. They may do that because they're guaranteeing it. There's insurance backing it, but it also is saying that something is interesting with this contract, so we want to wait and see. Now, I'm sure in those guarantees, there's different clauses. If things happen, that money gets taken away. A lot of the owners, though, when you look at Stephen Ross is flush enough to continue to spend big money on Tyreek Hill to be able to say, in 24 months, I'm going to give Tyreek Hill $72 million. I can do that. When other owners are not as cash flush, I remember playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Glazer family. They were not cash flush at the time because they went out and they bought the Manchester United. So my deal had to work with their cash flow in terms, and it sounds weird, but it had to work with their cash flow for them to be able to pay me my signing bonus, and I had to be okay with it to be able to do it.
Almost like financing a car, right? Oh, I want to go put this amount of money down, but I can finance it over a certain amount of years. Whereas you can say, hey, Key, I want to buy this car cash right now.
Hey, Jay.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter, because ain't none of them going and eating bologna anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. But it does matter
unless
for fan
they
bases.
Want to.
What you're talking about matters for fan bases. If you're a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, of the Panthers, of who else did you mention? Of the Rams, you never have to worry about your owner not being liquid enough to put a giant number in escrow. So to fully guarantee a contract, and that does make it easier to get certain players, right?
Well, it does, and you see it. Like Arthur Blank, he doesn't have a problem writing that check. Daniel Snyder, for many years, never had a problem guaranteeing money and giving signing bonuses in X amount of days for present value's sake. It's just different owners do it differently depending on the structure of the ownership group.
I mean, it's interesting to me. It tells you something about certain. Like, I wonder when you see Mitch Trubisky in Pittsburgh, and the Rooney family is one of the great old, you know, original NFL families, right? But I wonder, does that have something to do with them not having like that new Tepper money, right? Like that the kind of liquid that can let you go out and do what the Browns did, for example. Hey, they wanted Deshaun Watson. And whatever you think about whether or not Deshaun Watson should be playing given the open 22 civil cases alleging serious stuff, the fact is he is going to play at some point. And the Browns could say, okay, let's get this done. Here's $230 million fully guaranteed.
Sits in escrow. I have to put that in escrow. That's out of my account sitting there.
That's not
while I'm paying other players on a team.
That doesn't sound like something, say, the Pittsburgh Steelers could do, even if they were so inclined, Key, right? Like, they'd have to move a lot of stuff around, it sounds like.
Well, they have partners within their structure of ownership group. There's no question about it. They are the majority owner, and they've taken up some minority owners. And so every now and then, much like the Raiders, you have to go make cash calls when there's times, you know, when you need to make big purchases, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You've got to go to some of those other deep pocket guys to have those conversations about, hey, we want to sign this guy. I need to get $150 million over the next 4 years, and each individual needs to put in a piece to make this thing happen.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. I could geek out on that stuff all day long, man. Let's get to another big story from yesterday in the NFL.
Bruce Arians announcing he's stepping down. Defensive coordinator Todd Bowles being promoted to the head coaching job.
Tom Brady prefers the structured disciplinarian. Todd Bowles can probably do a little bit more structured than Bruce Arians.
I don't.
Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider, joins us now. What's up, Dan?
How we doing?
What's up, DG?
Okay, I see you trying to bop your head a little bit, Dan.
Yeah, that's all the trying I'm going to do. I see that this morning.
Dan Graziano is giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Here is former Tampa Bay Bucks head coach Bruce Arians at the press conference, essentially announcing his retirement, I guess, right? And the promotion of Todd Bowles to head coach from defensive coordinator. Bruce Arians heads to the front office. Here's former coach on his relationship with a guy you may have heard about called Tom Brady. Listen.
We have a great relationship. I mean, as soon as he retired, I think we text every week. Hey, where you at? What are you doing? When are you going to play golf? When are you getting back down this way? And so people got it right. I mean, and it couldn't be further from the truth.
So, Dan, I was skeptical when I first heard what happened, only because I didn't believe Tom Brady was retired. Then he was unretired. He never missed a beat. Never missed a practice. Never missed a meeting. Never missed anything, right? And then all of a sudden, now Bruce Arians goes to the front office because it was time, right? So it makes the way I read it, but everyone's telling me I'm wrong. Jay, Key, Jeff Saturday, everyone was telling me I'm wrong. Diana Russini, I'm wrong, wrong, wrong. Seems to me, my reading of it would be, a conjecture, Tom Brady wanted to leave Tampa, found out he couldn't leave Tampa, and a compromise was reached. He gets Todd Bowles as head coach. Am I wrong?
Yes.
I don't think it's as... Look, I'm with you, right? Like, I felt the same way, skeptical, because what the timing is weird, right? I'm being told the same thing you're being told, which is that I'm wrong, that is clean. I can't believe it's as clean as they're all saying it.
Exactly,
is.
Dan.
You guys are
exactly. And Max, I was on your side. Don't try to. I wasn't on the other side.
Oh, Jay was on my
your
side. Yes. Jay was on my side. So three of us against you, Key.
So I think what you just said is probably, you know, probably pretty close. Like there was an all-encompassing conversation. What's this going to look like, right? I do think that Brady had his eye on some other place that didn't materialize. But when it didn't, I think, you know, well, what's it going to look like if I come back? See, here's the thing. Like, motivations don't really matter. What actually happens matters, right? And to me, like, a big part of this story is Bruce Arians in an era when one of the biggest problems the league faces every year is this lack of, you know, minority head coach hiring. Bruce Arians has walked the walk. Like, he put Todd Bowles on his staff. He put Byron Leftwich on his staff. He had, you know, three minority coordinators. He's put women on his staff before anybody else did that. So the idea that he wants to give Todd Bowles a head coach job with a good team, a contending team, a Super Bowl caliber team, as opposed to a head coach job that most people, you know, you're taking over a team that lost the most games in the league last. Most head coach jobs that come open are with rebuilding projects. This is not. I think ultimately it ends up being a positive thing for Todd Bowles and for the league. And I think Arians can kind of leave that as his legacy, whatever the motivation or whatever the underlying factors were that led to it. And I think that's an aspect of this that needs more attention.
Yeah, and look, Dad, everything that you just said about Bruce walking the walk, talking the talk, doing the whole deal, yes, he's been doing that since he's been a head coach in the National Football League, empowering diversity and minorities, no question about it. But the other thing that you, Max, and Jay are on, this conspiracy theory all of a sudden Tom Brady wanted to go to
two guys who never played
team.
In a basketball player. Say that. That's right, Key. What
Not
do you have to say?
All of a sudden.
All of a sudden, you got two guys in a reporter. Should I say it that way? No, but you guys are saying this as if they said, hey, Tom, come sit in the first row of the press conference so we can just dispel all the myth that's out there.
This is impossible.
There's no way.
This is the brilliance of it, though.
It's stop.
Everybody wins.
Y'all stop.
Wait, Bruce Arians wins. Look, Tom Brady wins.
Stop.
Todd Bowles wins. Yeah. The organization wins.
Yeah. No.
They go, what's wrong with presenting it that way? Just because you tell me it's some way doesn't mean it's actually that way.
He stepped down because he wanted to give an opportunity to Todd Bowles to set things up
the right way, right now,
not before when Todd, everybody thought Todd was going to get a second job out in the open marketplace.
Right.
It didn't happen. So now it changes course for Bruce to make that decision now because Tom came back.
Right.
And when you got, Kyle Trask and Blaine Gabbert, you don't want to put Todd in that situation. Hell, he could have still been in New York coaching if that was the case.
Right, but here's the thing, right? Like, Brady unretired 2.5 weeks ago, right?
But he never retired. He just said it.
Since then, there's been free agency, and the Bucs had a lot of moves. Like, some guys came back, some guys didn't come back. Are we supposed to believe that a free agent that re-signed with the Bucs, a Carlton Davis, Ryan Jensen, whatever, or the receiver from Atlanta, Russell Gage, goes, that they're not telling him who the coach is going to be? Like that, and for 2.5 weeks, this stayed secret? And nobody had a whiff
of
it? I
can believe
Jesus
that
delicious,
they didn't
Keith.
Tell them at all what he was thinking in his plan. I can honestly believe that because every coach is not going to tell people what they're thinking until they actually do it. I can believe that.
But if I signed back with the Buccaneers because I liked playing for Bruce Arians and now I find out he's not the coach, what if I don't like Todd Bowles? Am I just stuck?
Yeah, you're stuck.
I feel like that was a bait and switch.
It might have been a bait and switch.
I think something has changed here in the last couple of weeks.
But think about it, Dan. He's going upstairs, though, Dan. He's still part of the organization. So if he was going to disappear, he would just leave.
If you hear hoofbeats in North America, don't rule out zebras, but think horses first, okay? Tom Brady retired.
What a lie.
And 8 weeks later, with a flimsy reason for retiring, it came out of the blue. 8 weeks later, he unretires.
Yeah.
And then the coach goes up to the front office, and the defensive coordinator is now the head coach. And I'm supposed to believe nothing's going on. Well, let me tell you something.
The cheese is too tempting.
You hear those zebras?
Dan Graziano took it. Jay took it, and we're all eating that cheese. It's delicious.
Oh,
Have some, Key.
Don't stay away from these guys, Dan. They're going to poison
Jay
Will you,
and
I'm
Max
telling you.
Is presented by Progressive Insurance, a new king of the NBA. That's next ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.